Hallelujah. Let's get rolling on this thing here. Praise God. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2? I'll speak this in simple, quick teaching tonight. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. Praise God. Isn't God good? You know, isn't it wonderful that we can hang out and just enjoy the presence of the Lord and just, you know, be who we are in Christ and not have to worry about what people are thinking of you? You know? Well, the only reason why people worry what they're thinking of them is because they're doing something wrong. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Glory to God. Would you read this with me? Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Say what? The Lord knows those who are His. Now listen. The Lord knows those who are His. In other words, you've made a commitment to be His. Amen? Amen. If you're still yours, whoa. Amen. Then it's a different story, isn't it? Because the Lord knows those who are His. Well, when you make that commitment to be His, that's a choice, isn't it? That means there's a relationship manifesting. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? So He says, those who are His depart from what? Iniquity, sin. They depart from doing the wrong thing. Right? But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for what?
Dishonor.
Therefore, if anyone, what? Cleanses himself from the letter. That means walking in the old ways. Amen. He will be a vessel for what?
Honor.
Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Every good work.
Amen.
Every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a what?
Pure heart.
Out of a pure heart. Wow. But avoid what? Foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. You know, that's pretty powerful, able to teach. Do you know that you're teaching without speaking?
Amen.
Because you're a walking epistle. You're actually teaching without speaking. The eyes of the world are on you. You're either going to draw people to Christ or disqualify them to come to Christ. Hello? How many of y'all want to push away people? Amen. So what you and I do is either going to draw them, right, or push them away or disqualify them from coming, right? But a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient. Hello? Patient is a fruit of the Spirit. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. So that they may know the what? And the truth will what? Set them free. Right. And that they may come to their senses. In other words, come to their senses because they've been snared, haven't they? And escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, this is a letter, right, to believers. You know, how many of y'all have been taken captive to do the will of the devil? Amen. Well, you know, God don't want that no more as a believer. So many people have a hard time receiving correction, don't they?
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're snared by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? They're protecting their flesh. Right?
Amen.
They're protecting their flesh. Praise God. So how many of y'all want to be a vessel of honor?
Amen.
Praise God. You know, let me share something with you. A vessel of honor releases a sweet aroma. You release a sweet aroma when you're that vessel of honor. You know, the powers of darkness know when you're in the Spirit and not. They know when you're right with God and not. See, you're either releasing a sweet aroma or an odor. Right? I mean, come on. Did you ever pick up a piece of rotten fruit? Does it smell good? No, man, you toss it. But something that smells good, right, you want to eat it. And you know that it's good. Praise God. So understand this. A vessel of honor will always release a sweet aroma. And a vessel of dishonor will release an odor. Amen? You know, dealing with deliverance and so forth, there's many times that you can actually smell the demonic forces. You know? You can actually smell them. And when I've prayed for deliverance in people, sometimes I can smell the demon come out. Sometimes I can smell it on the individual walking by. It all depends. You know, if God releases, and then you can also smell the presence of God, which is wonderful. You know, there's nothing greater than smelling the frankincense presence of the Lord sometimes, you know? It's like, whoa. And you can't explain it. You know, you just can't explain it. You just know that there's just a sweet scent of the Lord's presence. And it's like, whoa. You know? So understand something. You are releasing either a sweet aroma or an odor. Hello? Praise God. And tonight's teaching is called Sweet Aroma. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God. Everybody there? Let's read it together, okay? Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us, the word diffuses means manifests. The what? Fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Wow, do you know that God's truth? Now you got to understand something. Truth is knowledge understood. Say, truth is knowledge understood. Because knowledge that is not understood is not truth. Does everybody got it? You know how many people read the Bible and don't understand it? Well, they've taken knowledge without understanding, and it doesn't become truth. It becomes bondage. Does everybody got it? So truth is knowledge understood. Now, understand this. That this knowledge will release a fragrance.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The fragrance of Christ. Now, Christ means anointed one and His anointing. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are releasing a fragrance. Some people come up to you and just say, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, man. You know? I don't understand it. But you got to understand, you know, the thing is that it's a fragrance, a spiritual fragrance.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that we're not accustomed to in the natural realm. And it doesn't smell like things that are natural. It's a spiritual fragrance that's released from us as we're walking in the Spirit. You know? Now, think about a skunk, you know? I mean, a skunk releases an odor, doesn't it? And it releases it when it's afraid as a protection, doesn't it? Amen. This fragrance that you and I have is the presence of the Lord. It's a sweet aroma. Because the Bible says, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we? 16? Okay. Let's read 15 again. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to another the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as a sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ, meaning in the Spirit, right? So this aroma of death and aroma of life. You know, denying yourself will always lead to life, won't it? Right? You know, a flower releases a fragrance, doesn't it? And once it dies, the seed goes, right? The seeds from the flower go into the ground and produce what? More flowers, right? So understand that you and I are releasing this fragrance. One of the things that must happen to continue to release this fragrance so that God's presence can have His way in us is to constantly deny ourselves. Amen? Deny ourselves releases the fragrance or the aroma of life. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 5, please. Praise God. Ephesians 5, and let's read this together starting at verse 1. Everybody there? Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Now wait a minute, let's back up. It says be imitators of who?
God.
In other words, you and I are supposed to imitate the way Jesus walked on this earth, aren't we? And it's not just about casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and raising people from the dead. That's a part of it. But what it is walking in the fruit that He bore. You know? I mean, walking as a fragrance of Christ. People wanted to get near Him, didn't they?
Amen.
You know? But the ones that were... The demons didn't want to get near Him, did they?
No.
They wanted to run from Him because His presence brought light that exposed them, didn't it? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving Himself for us and offering it in sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet-smelling aroma. So Jesus Himself was the example of giving a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling aroma. See, sacrifice is a representation of denying yourself, isn't it? You're sacrificing your ways and your life for the life of Christ. By doing that, it releases a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Has everybody got it? Good, let's go further then. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of what? Thanks. Man, how many times you hear people grumbling instead of giving thanks? You know? The reason why people grumble and give thanks and criticize and accuse is because they don't have understanding.
Amen.
They can't deny themselves and are not releasing that sweet aroma, because the sweet aroma to the Lord is a sacrifice of denying self. Amen? How many times you get in a circumstance and everyone gets involved and you find yourself wanting? And the Holy Spirit saying, come on, you don't need to want there. Come on, get back in. Come on, get back in. Don't go there. And you want to say some things and you want to do certain things. And the Holy Spirit's going, come on, get back in here. Get back in here. Right? What's He saying? Get back in the Spirit. Why? Because what's going to happen is you're going to do something and then you're going to try and protect it. You're going to do something then and try and protect what you just did. Because one of the things the flesh hates to be dealt with is to be exposed.
Amen.
You know, man fears to be rejected, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Amen? Man fears to be wrong. Flesh wants to exalt itself above all things.
Amen.
That's the sacrifice you and I must sacrifice. The denial of self to release a sweet aroma. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, we're all going to be smelling sweet tonight. Verse 5. For this you know that no what?
Fornicator,
unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Well, that means we must walk in the Spirit. So these things here will keep us and prevent us from walking in the Spirit and inheriting the kingdom. Amen. Let's go further. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Believe me, what we sow is what we reap.
Amen.
No matter what. What you sow, you're going to reap.
Amen.
See, you can't justify by how much you prayed yesterday. You can't justify by what you did yesterday and how much you've done. When you start to justify what you've done, you open yourself for trouble. Amen? Well, man, in other words, when you get in a position where you think you earned something, you're in trouble. Nothing is earned. The only thing we earn is His trust. And that's between you and God. Amen? That's the only thing you earn is His trust. What He chooses to bless you with is up to Him. But you don't go to your boss and say, give me more money when you haven't earned it. Right? Even though you may think you've earned it. Because if you've truly earned it, you don't have to go ask for a raise.
Amen.
The Lord's going to move on that individual's heart to say, give him a raise.
Amen.
The only reason why people want more money, hello, you know it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are legitimate reasons for more money, isn't it?
Amen.
And maybe God is saying, well, it's time to move to another job. All right? He's got a place. Some of us have a lot of things to catch up on. But don't sweat it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get out of position, because then the devil begins to push you. And the next thing you're doing is you're beginning to serve money instead of the Lord. You got it? You allow God to build your house. Oh, hallelujah. Because then what happens is you begin to deny yourself, and that sacrifice kicks in of a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Should we go further? Verse 7. Therefore, do not be what? Partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Say it again. In all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You know, some people just can't be truthful with themselves. They justify. Justification is not truth, is it? finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what?
Expose them.
Expose them. Oh, hallelujah. See, so if you truly want to please God, and isn't that our purpose? Then we must be willing to make a sacrifice. The sacrifice is to deny yourself, which releases a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. We don't want to release odor. We want a sweet-smelling aroma. Right? Philippians 4. Praise God. In verse 15, please. Is everybody there? Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you all. You only. I got a little southern in that one, you know.
God.
That was an ex-Yankee. But... no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And I personally want to thank each and every one for sharing and sending my wife and myself away. It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time, man. It's powerful. Praise God. Thank you all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. See, it wasn't the gift. It was the fruit of giving. Do you understand that? It wasn't about the gift. It was the fruit of giving. You know, we were just at a ministry last night, and it just blew our minds. Sweet people. The Goads, a powerful international ministry. And you know, and how they're rescuing children and doing all kinds of stuff, and they're in 70 nations. And we went there, and there was people there and just wanting to give, but see, it wasn't about the gift. And these people, they do a lot of music, and they weren't talking anything about their music. They sell their music and use the funds to give.
Right.
You know, and it's a family, and they got a powerful testimony of their life. See, so it's not about the gift. In fact, the Lord says be a cheerful giver, doesn't he?
Amen.
See, a cheerful giver releases a sweet aroma.
Amen.
You know? If you have to give, that's not releasing a sweet aroma. Do you understand? We give because we want to help. Do you understand? That's a total different thing. And that's what Paul was talking about. He says, it's not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. What's the fruit that abounds to your account? That's sweet aroma that's pleasing to God. If it's a sweet aroma pleasing to God, it abounds to your account. Glory to God. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from, what's that? Epaphroditus. The things sent from you, a what? Sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Lord. So if you gave with a cheerful heart, not because you have to, but because you wanted to bless, that is a sweet aroma to the Lord. Amen? But if you gave because you had to, it counts as nothing. So how many times did you started off giving because you had to, and you said, no, I'm going to give, Lord, because I know it's the right thing for you. And you changed your attitude. That alone became a sweet aroma to the Lord. So even when we give in tithes and offerings and stuff to that degree, and even giving our time to help someone, right? How many times, you know, I mean, we ask a lot of things of guys here sometimes, you know, because there's a lot of things going on. You know, we're constantly expanding and building and trying to do this and trying to bring funds to do this and whatever, and you know, and you got to understand that this ministry ties where we can't be. We send money to feeding children and so forth. So we ask a lot of help from guys in expanding and remodeling and this and that around here. Well, if you're doing it because you have to, there is no reward. It's not counted to you. But if you're doing it because you know you're laboring unto the Lord to expand His kingdom, it becomes a sweet aroma to the Lord, and then it counts to you. Amen? Does everybody got it?
Amen.
So you know what? God makes opportunity for us to build up our account, doesn't
Amen.
He?
Amen.
But if you're not in the Spirit, and you're only in the flesh, oh man, you're grumbling and complaining. Because you're protecting. And it's called covetousness. Because you're protecting what you worked so hard for. Or your time. That's a total different thing, isn't it? Totally different. Oh, hallelujah. And may my God, now listen, read this with me in verse 19. Now look at, after he's gone through this, he explains it about their account, right?
Amen.
And he says, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. So he's going to meet every need, isn't he? In fact, he does exceedingly abundantly, far above all we could ever ask or think. Amen?
Amen.
So that's a sweet aroma. Well, how did that sweet aroma originate? By denying yourself, which is that sacrifice which released a sweet aroma. You know, guys call when we interview guys for applications and so forth to come here, they say, well, I think I'll try. I said, forget it. You either come and do it or don't. You don't come and try him. You come and do it. Because then if you come to try, that means you're not making the sacrifice to do it. You know, people go through program and program and program just to get through. They look at the time sequence. Let's see, I've got 10 months here and I'm done. If you're looking at time, then you're not a servant.
Amen.
Then you're doing time, aren't you?
Amen.
Then you're doing time. You better off going to jail. Do your time and get it over with. You know? Because this is not about time. Our time is eternal.
Amen.
Amen? Our time is eternal. We're looking at expanding the kingdom of God and bringing glory to His name. That's the difference between relationship and religion. We don't realize that those spirits like to grab hold of us. You know, when you and I came to the Lord, we said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In other words, what we did is gave him our life.
Amen.
The flesh does not want to give up the life, does it?
No.
The flesh doesn't want to give up the life. So you'll know if you're in the flesh if you can't give it up. And you know you're releasing an odor, aren't you?
Yeah.
And not only that, everybody around you knows it stinks. But if you're releasing a sweet aroma, you're pleasing the Lord, aren't you? Amen. It's a difference. There's a total difference. Far be it that we should be bound by space and time. Amen. We're not looking at a time sequence. We're looking at an eternal realm. We're looking at a continuous walk with the King of Glory. That's a relationship. If you haven't gotten there yet, you don't have that relationship yet. But discipline will lead there. Discipline will maintain a relationship which will lead to what? A love affair. That means we don't have that love affair yet. Now we may have a relationship that goes back and forth, but we haven't touched the heart of a love affair with the King of Glory. Because when you touch the heart of a love affair with the King of Glory, it's no longer you that live, but He that lives in you.
Amen.
And you release a sweet aroma to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to the Lamb. Let's go to Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8. Glory to God. In Genesis chapter 8, in verse 20. Now after the flood, the Lord told Moses to come out of the ark. I mean, Noah, sorry. Praise God.
Holy Spirit erased.
Moses came out of the what? He was near the Ark of the Covenant, right? Okay. Long ark, sorry. Praise God. Wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. Now we know Noah, the Lord told Noah to come out of the ark. And then God, in verse 1, then God reminded Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. So we know that the water subsided, and the Lord told Noah, okay, it's time to come out. And when Noah came out, he built an altar. In verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And he took of every what?
Clean.
Not unclean. Yes. Unclean animals don't release a sweet aroma.
Amen.
Unclean vessels do not release a sweet aroma. He took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Let me share something with you. It was the sweet aroma that changed the heart of God. What Noah did. It was the sweet aroma that changed the heart of God. Was he angry with man? Yes. Because of their sinful ways. But look at, he said, even though that their imagination is evil, he said, I'll never do this again. Why? Because what Noah offered to the Lord when he came out of the ark. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God what? Blessed Noah for what? What he did. And his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you, now check this out, because what was given to Adam and Eve was removed when they fell. Now it was restored to Noah. Look at this. It says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every what?
Beast
of the earth. And on every bird of the air. And all that move on the earth and on all flesh of the sea. They are given, and fish of the sea, the flesh of the sea, and fish of the sea. They are given into your what?
Hand.
So dominion was given back to Noah, wasn't it? Well, why don't we have dominion now? You do. The thing is if you're not clean, releasing a sweet aroma, hello? Believe me, I can't tell you how many times people have come out of their house and thought I was goofy. Their dog come running out after me and I say, in the name of Jesus!
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus! I'll tell that dog. That thing will stop. If he don't, he gets a boot. But that dog stops. I've never had to kick one yet. Thought about it, was about ready to, but didn't happen. Do you understand that? See, if you're walking in the Spirit, you release a sweet aroma and you have favor of God. If you're not, hello? If you're an unclean vessel, you'll find that things are not happening. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. So all of these things have been restored. We have now dominion, don't we? We have dominion over all things. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Now when they left Egypt and they were on their way, the Lord told them to build a tabernacle, right? And he began to build the tabernacle, a place where God would dwell with man. And there's three sections. One's called the outer court, the other's called the holy place, and the other's called the Holy of Holies, isn't it? And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. Okay? And in verse 1, the Lord was having Moses make furniture. And one of the pieces of furniture was an altar of incense. See, so a sweet aroma represents incense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Amen? We're actually an incense. Mm-hmm. And verse 1, and the Lord told Moses, "And you shall make an altar to burn incense on, and you shall make it of acacia wood." And then he has all the dimensions and so forth. And go down to verse 6. "And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you." So it's to go before it. So understand something. God met them before the sweet aroma. The sweet aroma would go up and then God would meet them. Does everybody understand that? He said, "I will meet you there," right there. So what they were doing is, in the morning and in the evening, they were offering up an incense which was going up before the Lord. Now, it was symbolic, okay? Because the incense actually represented the prayers of the Hebrew at that time, of the Hebrew people. It was supposed to be a sweet aroma or a sweet incense before God. In fact, if you know, I was brought up in Catholicism, and they used to come out and shake this thing and censor, you know, which really didn't mean anything, but you know, it was supposed to be the prayers of the saints, but it didn't mean anything. The person was already dead. You know, so what was done was done. But it was symbolic, you know, and it smelled the place up and whatever, and you know, but it was symbolic. And it was symbolic to the bowl of sense that held the censer, the incense bowl, is a censer bowl that held the incense. And as the priest, because only the priest was allowed to put the incense and allow it to go up, but now we're all called to be priests, aren't we?
Amen.
So the incense is a representation of your prayers now. Okay? So you don't want stinky prayers, do you? Hallelujah. And go to where are we? And verse 7, "Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation." So it's supposed to be continuous, isn't it? Amen? Hallelujah. Go to verse 34. Would you read it with me? In verse 34. "And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacket, and anaka, and galbanum, and pure frankincense with these sweet spices, and there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Wow. Now aren't we the salt of the world? So your prayers are to be holy, aren't they? You shall beat some of it very fine and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, or I will meet you, or I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. That means counterfeit.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
In other words, selfish things, doesn't it? Selfish things. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Everybody all right? So the priest was the one that did this, didn't he? The priest. Now we're all priests, aren't we? So we're not going to go before the Lord with selfish prayers, aren't we? Well, we want to be a sweet-smelling aroma, don't we? But by doing that, we must be first a clean vessel. Amen? We must be a clean vessel. Praise be to God. Glory to the Lamb. Would you turn to Revelation 8? Now, understand this, and which I didn't mention to you. When there was self-sustained incense, in other words, when I'm talking about unrighteous incense sent up, which is called strange incense or called strange fire, but we can call it strange incense, what that represented was sin. Because the purpose was self-edification. Does everybody understand it? Self-exaltation. In other words, the Bible tells us about, you know, things people don't get prayers answered because they ask things amiss, don't they? For selfish and lustful things, don't they? So in that area, when people are doing it, it's actually known as sin. And that's what he was talking about in that. Hallelujah. Okay, where I said it going? Revelation 8. In verses 1 through 6. Read it with me, please. When he opened the seventh seal, seven means what? Complete and perfect. Oh, hallelujah. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. You know, let me share something with you. I truly believe that the silence in heaven for half an hour was the prayers of the saints, which was moving on the heart of God to make a decision. Because watch this. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. See, now he's explaining what was going on in this half an hour. He was giving much incense that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. One of the things was, this is about the prayers of the saints that were under the altar. And they were saying, how long, Lord? How long? How long? Where did they want? They wanted judgment to come. And this was a part of the judgment because God was answering the prayers of the saints. So what he did, what happened was the censer that was emptied with the prayers of the saints was now filled with the judgment of God because he answered their prayers. Does everybody understand that? And he took those and threw it to the earth, and judgment began to come.
Hallelujah.
Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So your prayers, your prayers don't go unanswered. It'll either be yes or no. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Let's read this. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense. The lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice. So for those of you that have a hard time lifting your hands, it's a sacrifice. Amen? What are you doing? You're commanding your flesh to worship God. What's the verse 3? Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The worst thing that we can do is be careful what you speak, man. I mean, you want to stop a sweet aroma from coming from you? Be careful what you speak.
Oh, yes.
It will become a foul aroma before the eyes of God and before Him. Do not incline my heart to any what? Evil thing. To practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. And do not let me eat of their what? Delicacies. In other words, don't let me do the same thing they do. I want to maintain a sweet aroma to you. I want to be an incense to you. Let my prayers be an incense to you. So what you and I do, either our prayers will be an incense or not before God, will it? Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. He was willing to receive correction, wasn't he? To keep himself as an incense before God.
Amen.
For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Amen? Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. And you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute, and keep me from the snares they have laid for me, and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I escape safely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11. Verse 1. For King Solomon loved many foreign women. He didn't love them, he lusted them. As well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. So, he was disobedient, wasn't he? Surely they would turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. In lust. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as the heart of his father David. That's a bummer, huh? For Solomon went after Ashereth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Malcolm, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord. Everybody say, fully follow the Lord. Let me share something with you. If you don't fully follow the Lord, it becomes an abomination to the Lord. I'm a believer. I like following the Lord when I want to. But when it comes to my advantage, I'm not going to follow the Lord there. Well, then you're an abomination to the Lord because you're not fully following the Lord. Amen? And that's what it says right here, right? It said Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not, what? Fully follow the Lord as his father, David. Then Solomon built a high place for Kashmash, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all of his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrifices to their gods. Ouch. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. See, so many times people think, well, man, if God would just come to me, Well, the Lord appeared to Solomon twice, and he still went and did the wrong thing. And he appeared unto him twice, and he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. So many times we wonder why we lose what God has given us. It's because we've actually begun to follow false gods. And we can be the number one false god.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's called strange incense to the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We don't want to offer strange incense to the Lord, do we? And starting at verse 11. Would you read it with me? Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 11. Come on, read it with me. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number of the roll of the prepared by Jehu, the scribe, and Messiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total of the chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under the authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with the mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and corners to shoot arrows large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he had become strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction for the transgression against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now understand this, he had all of this stuff. He had just completed many things, defeated armies, had all these weapons and inventions. What he began to do is walk away from the strength of the Lord and began to rely on his own strength and his own wisdom and his own knowledge. Does everybody understand that? And he took advantage of it. And what he did is he went into the temple because he was puffed up and prideful. He went into the temple to burn incense to the Lord. Now watch this. In verse 17. So Azariah, the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests of the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him there and on his forehead, and he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he was also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. What was he doing? He was offering up incense when he had no right to, because he became puffed up and prideful, not trusting in God, but trusting in his own strength. Amen. Hello?
Amen.
And King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Amen? So what happened was God removed him from position, didn't he? Here he was, a king with all power and all wealth. And he went and offered up strange incense to the Lord, and God removed him from position.
Amen.
So we must be careful. Just because it doesn't happen to you instantly, believe me, what you sow is what you'll reap. Amen? Everyone reaps what they sow. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Leviticus chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. That's why when you blow it, you better repent quickly. The longer you wait to repent, the more you'll reap. Leviticus chapter 10. One through three. You can read it with me. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Wow. That's called strange incense, isn't it? So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all people, I must be glorified. Hello? Amen. Jeremiah 44. Praise God. Jeremiah 4:4. And verse 23. And Jeremiah was given a prophecy in verse 23. Says, because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in His law, in His statutes, or in His testimonies, therefore this calamity has happened to you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we may make to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. Is everybody with me? And all men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Yet a small number who escaped the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Now what were they doing? They were offering incense up to the Queen of Heaven. How many of y'all know about prayers that they pray to a woman in heaven? That's no different, is it? You understand that? See, they were offering incense to heaven, weren't they? Amen? They were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. I drive by down I Drive and I see this huge church and it says, Queen of the Universe. I'm like, come on. Queen of the Universe. You know what they're doing? They're offering up prayers. You know, personally, I think Sister Mary is so offended by what goes on. Because see, she's no different than me and you. She was a chosen vessel. And you know, she doesn't hear the prayers. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't hear the prayers. Because the Bible says no man comes to the Father except for through Jesus, right? It didn't say no man comes to the saint except for through Jesus, did it? It said to the Father. In fact, when Jesus taught us how to pray, didn't he say our Father? He didn't say Mary or Moses or Abraham or anyone else, did he? He said Father. Amen. In representation of father-child relationship. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see they got in trouble for that, didn't they? Go to Isaiah 2. Praise God. That's why when you start your day, you make sure you get clean before God, before you start praying. Hello? Why? So that your prayers can be a sweet aroma to the Lord. But you first got to take time to do it. Amen? You know, I remember, I heard an individual say, you know, when I miss a day of prayer, my wife knows. When I miss 2 days of prayer, the rest of my family knows. When I miss 3 days of prayer, everyone knows. Why? Because he's lost that sweet aroma, protecting the flesh. Isaiah 2 and verse 5. Glory to God. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord, for you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with Eastern ways. Eastern ways. False religions. You know, people don't understand about the Eastern ways. You know, there's a lot of Eastern ways in this country. And that begins to move people out of worshiping the Lord and worshiping other gods, and they don't even know it. There are many Christians who are still doing the Eastern ways. You know, there are many people. Now, listen. I know that there's Christian martial arts now, right? But isn't that an Eastern way? Yeah. Hello? I mean, if you think about it, when people practice martial arts, they went in and they bow before another god, didn't they? Some people are still cursed with doing that and never repented from it, and they're still holding on. I've prayed for believers that were still bound and still holding on to cursed items from being in martial arts, and they were having struggles and problems, and anger was still on them. Because that, see, involved in some of those things opened the door for spirits of murder and anger and vengeance and pride. Does everybody understand that? It opens the door to demonic activity. Praise God. Okay. For you have forsaken your people, and because they are filled with eastern ways, they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end of their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Ooh. In other words, get out of there. Right? Enter into the rock and hide in the dust. From the terror of the Lord, the glory of His majesty, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Amen? And I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise God. Verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In other words, your own desires, things that you want to do. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word therefore means if. Now, therefore, if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is what? Unclean. Then I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen? So we must come out from among the ways of the world, that we may deny ourselves, and the sacrifice will be a sweet aroma unto the Lord. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we just take this opportunity again and repent for the things that have caused us to walk away. Any part of our heart, Lord, that has turned away from you, we repent and we give it to you that you would expose everything. We ask for your kingdom and your will to be manifested in us and through us. For your glory, for your honor, and for your praise, that we may be a sweet aroma unto you and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,